guys, liftoff.
Do you guys see the countdown?
Yeah, we saw.
Does it show you guys the countdown? Okay, yeah. that's hilarious. You never know, like if people can see it on the other side or not. And right. One time I was counting somebody down and they just started laughing. And I was just like, what? I'm just giving you the countdown. So now I know why they were laughing, because they could see it. I didn't need to actually count down. That's so funny. All right. Well, thank you for enlightening me on that.
There you go.
Oh, you have to dance during this part. Just something, anything. A little Vogue. Nothing. I got nothing out of you guys.
Nothing.
Wow. That is going to make, that is gonna make for a terrible reel. All right, roll intro again. Welcome to the lounge. I'm Matt with Vulton Woodworking and your host of the Maker Lounge podcast, where we have a rotating group of makers hanging out and talking shop with each other. So it started off with two guys on a farm, then moved to doing massive glue ups, and now they have a product out for garage woodworkers. Today we have two guys that put the dynamite in content and their name. And yes, that's a play on their name. I'm talking about Tony and Tyler with TNT Industries. Thanks, what's up, guys, for being on the podcast.
Going, yeah, that was an awesome intro. Thanks, man.
Yeah, man.
You know, sometimes I spend way too much time writing these things up, and I'll rewrite them, and I'm like, is this going to be funny? Should I go for the not funny this time? You know, mix it up.
No, that was awesome.
Hey, man, it sure is, dude.
Yeah, that was cool.
I like the TNT, the play on the name, Tony and Tyler. Or is it Tyler and Tony? Which one came first?
It doesn't matter.
It's however you'd like to do it.
Okay.
You know.
And then I heard you on another podcast and you talked about all the different T's, and that if you don't have a name that starts with a T, then you shouldn't apply, right?
Pretty much. Man. That's how it's worked out.
Yeah, that's how it's worked out. We work with a guy named Tyrone. And he has a T name. And we did work with a guy named Taki and he had a T name. So it seems like they all have T names. However, in the past there has been other names that have worked with us. You know, we had Levi and Luke.
Yeah, battles.
Julio.
Any N's? Yeah. Did you have any N's that worked with you? Because then that could complete the.
No, I don't think so. I don't think we had an N. Yeah. See, honestly, the reason it's TNT isn't even because we necessarily like our names. We just couldn't figure out a business name to LLC. So we're thinking about it for like a week or 2 weeks, and like we're like, oh, what are we gonna come up with? And we're just like, well, we could just do TNT for Tony and Tyler. And we're like, whatever, let's do it.
It works, whatever. we're tired.
Did you ever regret it?
I don't think so.
Nah.
What
we
was
put
really
enough thought into it. We're like, it was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was actually kind of funny for us, because after we picked that name, all of a sudden we were starting to see all the other TNT businesses, like TNT window tinting and TNT car wash and all these other things.
Yeah, there's a lot.
So that was pretty funny. But
is there a TNT industry, or is it?
There's another TNT Industries in like New York or something. And I'm fairly certain they do like some sort of metal production or metal work. But you know, we haven't heard anything from them, or we don't have any crossovers. But we did when I Googled it, that's like the only legitimate business I could find that was named the same thing.
Yeah, I mean it's TNTs. I mean I would think that that's fairly common, you know, and it's probably a good thing, because TNT, I mean, if it's not like you know, B&B or something. Well, I guess that B&B would be something different, but. But yeah, I would think that TNT, if people are searching for TNT, you might start popping up in Google or whatever, huh?
Yeah, I mean, our website gets pretty decent traffic. And most of it comes through Google. The next bit of it comes through social media. But mostly people are Googling, like they're finding us when they're looking for like a table or countertop in the local area. So if you're like within 100 miles of us in Florida, and you are looking for countertops or something, we're highly likely to come up. But if they're just like looking up TNT Industries, I don't know if we'd come up. I've never tried Googling just our name.
Hmm. Yeah, I had Izzy Swan on last week, and we were talking about Yeah, I Googled him and I was like, yeah, when I look at your stuff, if I Google Izzy Swan, it comes up in the top, you know, he's in the top 10 slots or whatever. And if I Google my name, I'm not in the top 10. Like, I don't even, yeah, you got to go to like page 2 in Google.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't even try Google in my name, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. So tell me about your, you know, you guys and how you got started, your families, you know, the quick, you know, elevator pitch type thing.
Well,
how we got started. Well, we got started basically, Tyler and I met and became friends really quickly and also decided we were going to pursue business together really quickly. And so we met by chance, but then kind of like very quickly learned that we could work really well together. So, you know, we did a couple of things before we did woodwork. Like I said before, we did home renovation, but before that we did farming, tried to grow plants, and that didn't work out. Home renovation, it was good money, but it was just way too much time. We weren't close to our families as much as we wanted to be.
You both have kids?
Yeah, I had kids before Tony. I had kids when we met, and okay. Tony just had one a year ago.
Yep.
Okay. So you're not getting any sleep either?
No, he's actually, we actually have a pretty good setup. So like my wife gets to stay at home and, you know, I work right off on the same property. Right. So we all get pretty rested. I've had a pretty good cush setup with my kid. He's also a really good, really chill kid when you want him to be and, real fun. So we also like right before he was born, my wife and I got on opposite sleep schedules. So I would go to bed like at 6:30 and wake up around like 2 a.m. and she would go to bed at like 12 or 1 and wake up like at 8 or 9 or something.
Yeah.
And we did that for the first 3 months and it worked pretty flawlessly.
It's so pretty smart. Yeah.
It happened kind of by accident, a little on purpose once I realized what was going to happen and that we wouldn't have to switch our sleep schedules. But yeah, kids have been a pretty big factor in why we want to work from home.
Yeah, for me personally, it's like everything, I guess.
Right.
When we were doing work in like Miami or Las Vegas, we were just ready to get home as soon as we started leaving.
It didn't matter the job or like how much money we were getting at when we got there. We were ready to go home, you know.
So
how do you work in Las Vegas? Do you like by contract or something? You know somebody that hired you out there, or how does that?
Basically, when we were doing home renovation, we were willing to do basically anything. So someone paid us to lay 2,000 square feet in a Journeys. No. Was that in Las Vegas?
Yeah, that was in Las Vegas.
So it's 2,000, like a Journeys, like the in the mall where you buy shoes.
Yeah. Yeah, the kids' store.
So we laid down the whole tile floor in that Journeys out there. Hmm. And they flew us out there, paid for the hotel, paid us for the job eventually.
Nice.
And,
that's important.
Yeah, that's another thing we didn't like about home renovation. There's so much shenanigans.
Yeah,
right.
There's just so much shenanigans, so we didn't want to do that anymore. But yeah, that's how you get jobs out there. Or then in Miami, it was a like another mall, but it was a designer, some designer clothes or something.
Yeah, it was a nice neighborhood.
Yeah. Nice. But the whole top floor was a walnut floor and the whole bottom floor was oak.
Wow.
And Tyler had to cut crazy radiuses out of like 100 pieces of wood and it had to line up perfectly around this glass tube where this like elevator came up or something.
One had a giant I-beam right next to the glass and it had to like fit in it and around. Oh, it was terrible.
Dang. So you did farming, you tried growing plants of some sort.
Yeah.
And so I won't drive too deep into that question.
Oh no, that's okay. We did. The first thing we tried was like vegetables, because we thought like tomatoes, like we were like, oh wow, price a pound of tomatoes. We thought we had so much land, right?
Yeah,
4 acres is nothing for farmers farming. And then on top of that, we only used like half an acre when you actually measure it out or something.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Yeah, so like 4 acres, that's cute.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And so we're out there with like a plow, like we're doing it the wrong way.
At least I have a mower.
Yeah. But that didn't work out. And then I thought, okay, well, why don't we try... So I tried like palm trees, like rare palm trees. We tried geraniums, which are these fragranted, fluffy plants that are like kind of ornamental. We tried like lemongrass. We tried herbs. Oh, yeah. You're going to make tons of money with herbs. But
it's the wave of the future.
Right.
And we tried working markets, right? Like we have, there's video footage out there somewhere of us working markets. And and so
I think the big thing is boxwoods now, you know, with Magnolia Homes and all that. You know, you should have grown some boxwoods. You'd have been millionaires by now.
God, dang it, man.
Yeah. So we gave it a good heho, you know, with the growing different things. It just anything that you, any type of like farming of any sort, needs to be done at scale, and it needs to be done at scale well, right? Like, if you get up to scale and you lose a bunch of tomatoes and you can't sell any tomatoes, well, you know,
right?
Nothing to do. And then if you grow a bunch of plants and you go to markets and you don't sell anything at markets, you know, it's tough. You know, it's real tough.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you were doing that, were you doing like side woodworking stuff? Is that what propelled you into the
construction? No, we were building structures and stuff like that, you know, to like facilitate this stuff.
Like we built greenhouses and we built, like when we did herbs, we were trying to, you know, build the right greenhouse. We tried doing like outdoor stuff, and then that didn't work. So we were like, okay, well, maybe we'll make it hybrid and we'll have sunlight, and then it'll be like air conditioned.
So we're dealing with so many bugs.
Yeah, bugs and mold out here in the swamp. Tough, right? So we tried different things, and in that process, we accumulated a bunch of woodworking tools and like construction tools, really, but woodworking tools mainly. And then when that really wasn't paying the bills, that's when we kind of like made the jump into handyman work. Yeah. And that's where we really learned how to do, well, not Tyler. Tyler actually knew how to do a lot of stuff for a long time. That's where I learned how to do any type of work, period.
Okay. So you were Tyler's helper when you first started kind of doing that kind of stuff?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. Absolutely. I was a quick learner, but it was like, I was just trying to be useful and not in the way in the beginning.
Right.
Yeah, and like I'm not a good teacher, but Tony's he's a great watcher, and he can learn from like watching, you know, like I don't have to tell him anything. He can just watch me for a few minutes and he knows what to do, you know?
Yeah. So from the get-go, were you guys kind of like where you got into sync, you know, when you work with a partner, you're either in sync or not in sync, where you're butting heads all the time. Could you work without talking at all?
Yeah, we don't talk usually. Like,
when we're working, we just like, I don't know. It's just everything just flows, right? Like we prep each other. If we have, like, we work so in sync that I often say this, and I know it to be true now, is like we're worth at least like three guys working together instead of just two guys.
Yeah.
Just because like we're efficient. We don't have a problem doing like. Neither one of us has a problem doing like the hard work or the tougher work
or whatever,
or menial tasks. Yeah.
You know, like anything.
Yeah. Well, I think every time I see a video, both of your hands are filthy. So
guaranteed. My wife often asks me to wash my hands right after I get out of the shower or something, you know? So they're like as clean as they can be, but they're still kind of like black.
Yeah. It's tough.
Does she ever take you for a manicure?
No. Yeah, no need.
Yeah.
Can't manicure this. Like I have a busted fingernail right now because a planer almost ate it a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. I just dislodged 2 days ago. I was sanding, so I'm working on these church pew things, and I was sanding underneath it, and these are like 100-year-old church pews, and I don't do restoration work. I took this project on because I was stupid, but I was sanding like underneath it, and this massive shard, like huge splinter, went into my finger, and I took like a 3/8-inch splinter out of my finger the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Right at the knuckle. And so I was like, and my wife always says, man, your hands are so rough, you know? It's like, yeah, because I'm a man.
Yeah. I get splinters. Yeah. Tyler and I talk all the time with how we want to become soft boys, right? Like we want our hands to be soft. You know, like we would like our forearms to not have a bunch of cuts on them, you know, and just then become baby smooth. Right. You know, that'd be nice.
Well, you probably wouldn't see him on Tyler's one arm, right?
Right.
You got a full, yeah.
Yeah, you won't see it.
It's not completely blacked out yet, actually. It's only, I'd say, 60% max.
Yeah, it's 60%.
So are those old tattoos that you wanted to cover up? You don't have to talk about it, and I could delete it if you want to.
No, I don't care.
We don't care. We can talk about anything. We probably don't care to edit out anything. So you're welcome to ask about anything.
I had a bunch of pretty much trash, you know, like a bunch of serial killers and like crap I did and just trash work or whatever. And it's still trash.
When you said you did it, you inked yourself?
Yeah. And the blackout is, I've been doing that too, to like just black out my arm. To go like negative over it with like white ink and stuff.
How much whiskey does that take?
It definitely. I do it at like certain times of like, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, need something. Right. But
how many tattoos would you say that you have?
I don't know. I would go with coverage, and I'd probably say like 50% of my body. But I don't have anything on my back, you know. Like there's nothing there. So
it's hard to tattoo your back.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to get a sleeve, but right now, as of now, I have zero.
Zero. But well, I mean, I Tyler, I'm seeing an opportunity. I'm seeing practice in your future.
I did it. I apprenticed overseas and stuff with like a couple Russian dudes. It's something I was pursuing, but
Since you've never done a back tattoo, I think that you should do your first lower back TNT on Tony's back.
Oh yeah. Nice little TNT tramp stamp. Hey, it's a good shape for a tramp stamp.
Oh,
for
sure.
Yeah, it's a great logo. So who did your logo?
So when we first got into woodwork, we someone we kind of talked to a lot, but we hadn't worked with yet. He's actually local. He's like 10 minutes down the road. He just made the logo for us. He just made it, and I'd never seen
a couple examples, right?
He made us actually 4 examples, and we didn't actually ask for it. He just did it for us.
Yeah.
And that was actually pretty solid. That's actually one of the reasons I'm still thankful for this guy. His name's Brian, actually.
Cool.
But the TNT logo was actually really cool. And as soon as he made it for us, I was like, I looked it up, and no other TNT. There's a bajillion TNTs. Not one of them used this logo.
Nice.
So that's why we jumped right on trademarking it.
Right. That's smart. Yeah, I got my logo. Now, people pay a lot of money for logo and logo design, and rightfully so. So the fact that you got that for free is amazing. Yeah. I traded a farmhouse table for my logo set, my lockup set. And he did a couple different logos, like the one that's here on my hat. That's like the one I use primarily. But then I've also got another one. It's like the beard or whatever. And by the way, I was the first one that had that, but I just never used it. So I'm claiming that. No, it seems like probably 50% of the woodworking population has a bearded logo. But yeah, he gave me a bunch of different like mock-ups and lockups, I guess what they're called. But I traded a farmhouse table for it. And so
that was a pretty good trade. Yeah. We ended up doing for this guy, we ended up doing a lot of work for him.
Yeah.
So like he paid us for that work still, but he definitely got a good deal on a lot of work from us for sure. Because it's definitely a cool logo. And when I saw that it hadn't been used before ever, I was actually really excited.
Yeah. My paperwork's in the drawer down there. I can't find it. But yeah, I trademarked mine as well. Just, you know, this one, because I thought, well, I haven't seen the saw blade with, you know, kind of like an American flag type thing, more Texas type flag type thing in it. And I was like, yeah, you know, maybe that'll be worth something someday. You never know.
Yeah,
for sure.
Cool.
Yeah. I definitely have a feeling that, like, because now that we're actually doing a glue up rack, our logo will definitely get more out there. Cause like, we actually, not to transition into it like that, but we think that is going to, if anything that we might get known for, it might be that glue up rack.
Yeah. I do want to get to that.
Yeah, for sure.
But I also want the listeners to hang on, cause I do want to talk to that. Before we get there I always kind of like to play, I don't know if you guys listen to many of the episodes or not, I like to play a little bit of a game.
Okay.
And it always gets down to like, we're at 50 minutes of recording and I'm like, oh shoot, we got to do that. You know, it's something that the listeners have messaged me and said that they like doing. So we play a couple games. We play yes or no, where people say, you know, yes or no. I played a game with Izzy last week, which was rapid fire. So I shot him with a question or shot him with, you know, something, and he would give me his first thought. But I thought for you guys, because you guys are a dynamic duo, business, that I would try something different. And, typically I would want to do this in the after show, but I think it might be fun. And if it bombs, I'll throw it in the after show. I couldn't think of a clever title for this, but so I'm going to call it just Guess Who, which I know is probably a trademark name, but I'm okay with that. So essentially I'm going to see who's better, worse, who you think is, you know, the person. So I'll ask the question.
Okay.
And then you guys can respond at the same time with the person's name. So if it's, Tony, if it's you, you just say Tony, you know, if it's Tyler, you say Tyler. So both of you answer at the same time. Cool?
Cool.
Yep.
All right. Here we go. And and we get to use the bell for this. This will be fun. So this is also the edit button just for people. But all right, here we go. So the first couple ones might be a little bit of a warm up. We'll see how it goes. Who's better at business?
Tony.
Okay. that was like no Tony. Doubt in your mind. You're just like, yeah, definitely. So you don't have any like business sense, or is it just more he's just better at it?
I mean, yeah,
he definitely has business sense, but I'm just a really eager beaver. You know, so it's like when someone is good at something, like Tyler, you don't see me welding, right? Yeah. They're just like, when someone's good at something, we let that person do it because, like, we don't have time to waste, you know?
Gotcha. Cool.
I happen to be good at, like, marketing and business, so, and, like, I, like, enjoy doing it, so I just keep doing it.
Nice. All right, here, next one. Who is worse at calculating how much material you need?
Who is worse?
Oh.
That's a tough one. Tony. I'd say, it's just because you have more practice because you do it more.
Yeah, but I get wrong all the time. But we just never are right. Like, we are never right.
Yeah,
like,
we're never right.
We'll
man.
Even
like,
take a couple more pieces. Like, yeah, a couple more pieces. Like, okay, look.
Dude, we've done double before, and we've been still off.
We're like, okay, this is enough wood.
Board
we do
feet,
the board
you know,
like, calculations. We account for waste, right? We have that stack of wood and say, you know what? We'll grab two more. run all the mill, we're like two pieces short for a butcher block. You know,
we run those two pieces, we still need another piece.
Yeah, I don't know.
Either way too short or way too much.
Yep.
Never way too much. It's always short.
So even when ordering, like when you're getting your, you guys just got to stock
deliver
today.
No, we always get extra.
Okay. Ordering, we're good.
Yeah. Then that's not even our fault. Our supplier sends us double or more every time.
Yeah, like what we ordered. I just ordered 200 board feet of maple and like 150 board feet of walnut and 300 board feet of cherry. I ended up getting 350 board feet of maple, 280 board feet of walnut, and like 400 board feet of cherry. You know, like,
do they charge you for the higher amount?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, they're doing that on purpose. I'll call baloney on that.
Well,
here's the thing.
Here's the thing. If we order it, when you get lumber from a mill, like a professional kiln dry mill, they have packs of lumber, right? So they can look for a stack that's close to 300, but it's going to be, it varies. And it's whatever they have, that's what goes. So like one time we ordered 200 board feet of Purple Heart and got 600 board feet of it because that's the closest stack they had.
And that's not cheap.
It's not cheap. But here's the benefit of getting lumber that way, right? Like we get lumber at a wholesale price, right? And that's the only way you can get wholesale lumber is if you get stacks that way. And you also have to get it directly from the mill and be able to, you know, like house the lumber.
Yeah. Yeah. I get a discount if I just call it in and then they just go out and grab whatever random stuff that they've got. And then also there's probably less variability if you're getting a bunch of maple and a bunch of walnut all at the same time. You probably have less variability in the material, right?
Yeah. It's like batched for sure. And so those bundles we get, they're all from like, we oftentimes get pieces that are like book matched and stuff, but you know, like we don't sort through that for that, but it's all from the same batch.
Yeah. Right. You're not wasting book matches though.
Oh yeah. We waste
book matches.
Well, it's been fun talking to you guys. We'll see you later. No, just kidding. Next question.
Yeah.
All right. Who is more serious?
Tyler.
Yeah, Tyler.
I can see that. And he's also the more quiet one.
He's more quiet.
Not to Tony.
Yeah, like together we're about the same.
Yeah.
You know, but as far as like on camera, for sure, I'll be talking more than him.
Yeah. Gotcha. All right. So speaking of which, next one. Who's better on camera?
Tony.
I guess so. That last video you did.
Yeah, the one I did.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess I'm better.
So do you guys look at those metrics and see like, oh, you know, this person was in the video more and we have
honestly,
more or less
the
views?
Metrics don't define what's a good video for us, right? It's like when we watch it back, if we like it, we determine that's a good video. Metrics don't really play good for that because like you can put a lot of work into a video and like you know it's objectively a better quality video. And then I did a 5-second video clip vertical of us cutting a screw in a table and we go viral for that. You know, it's like the metrics don't tell if it's a good video. It's like feedback from people around you, like that can give you honest feedback is what like for us determines a good video.
Well, that's my account blew up because I did a couple sweeping shots. There were 5 or 6 second videos of my shop or whatever, and they went crazy. And I'm like, okay, so I guess I should need to do less videos of me and more videos of the tools. So my answer would be my tools are better in the videos than I am. All right. We have a few more.
Cool.
Who's better at design?
Ooh, what type of design?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
you tell me.
Oh, jeez.
I'd say that's an equal.
I mean, engineering equal. Design, I'd say me. But, like.
Yeah, structurally. If you want a structural.
Aesthetic design, I'd say you.
Yeah, I guess so. That's fair. That's fair. Okay.
That's good. So, yeah, like when you do the. Let's use an example. You did the mixed wood countertop. mm-hmm. right, with all those different types of wood. Is that just by happenstance, or is one of you like, no, 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 this one should go here, this one should go there?
Oh, no, no, we don't do that. We randomize them.
So we had like different piles of the wood, you know, and then we just tried to make it even at the end, you know?
Yeah, we don't.
Pretty much.
There's a few projects where we'll go through and like we'll like hand select where one piece of wood is going to go or something, but that's been a couple. It's been a
handful.
That's
only if like while we're milling it, we're like, wow, we need to showcase this piece.
Yeah, that too. We'll do that. We'll do that pretty frequently. One thing we definitely do a lot on our countertops is, and it's not like a design thing that either one of us, I don't think, necessarily came up with, but we've determined that we always book match our butcher blocks. So that way, at least the customer's getting like book match stuff all the way through.
Oh, that's cool.
I guess that's a long answer for that question.
Yeah, because sometimes when you're doing cutting boards, you might have like a face grain side or whatever that looks kind of ugly. So you're looking at that type of stuff, right?
Yeah, if some on our cutting boards, if we're doing, we do book match stuff a lot on that too.
Yeah, we do a lot of book matching, honestly.
Yeah, book matching tends to be our go-to when we're gluing up stuff.
Yeah.
So even if it may not be the prettiest, if it has a partner that looks the same, we'll put it in.
Nice. My wife would be very happy with that because she likes things being in pairs. Everything's got to be in even numbers or pairs or whatever. So she would appreciate that. I'll share that with her. Who's worse with money?
Well, Tony likes to spend money on business stuff.
We both spend it.
And I like to spend money on non-business stuff.
Four-wheelers.
Right.
Truck tires.
We're pretty irresponsible.
We've gotten more responsible over time because you got to, especially if you want to build a business. But I would say we're both pretty good at blowing money.
We always find a way to spend it.
Rolling money from job to job.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, just to the next one.
Yeah, so we oftentimes will get ahead, but then we'll have a brilliant idea, and that brilliant idea will cost money.
Something to build.
Yeah, we're building something, or we want to make something, or we want to. Actually, we actually spent a buttload of our money just trying new things, like. Mm. Like just getting the clamp rack rolling, we spent so much. Just getting it here to where we can deliver on our first pre-orders, we spent so much money.
Right.
You know, so like we have a lot of projects like that. Although we've been successful, like Tyler was super successful by blowing some money on paintball guns, but then quadrupling his money.
Yeah.
Later.
Sometimes you got to spend, you know, go in the hole a little bit. And it'll pay off later. Take a little bit of a gamble, I think.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to make money, I mean, that's a classic saying. It takes money. You can build up the initial money to start using money to make money by using your back. But really, even if you're using your back, you gotta have some capital in some way, and it actually doesn't even have to be money.
Right.
You know, like a lot of the capital we had for the clamp racks was a pile of metal outside.
Yeah. No. And time. And lots of time.
Yeah. And it took time to stack up that amount of metal too. Yeah. You know, like from different projects and stuff. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. We have three more.
Yep.
No, we have two more. Who's the clumsiest?
Tony.
Yeah, for sure. Me.
So give me an example. Tyler, give me an example of Tony's clumsiness.
I was going to point out his fingernail, but I have a hand injury too. So,
yeah. If there was someone to be more probable of getting hurt, it's probably me because, you know, I'm greener than Tyler when it comes around tools, you know, so I'll just be a little more lackadaisical or something. I won't have the right respect.
You know? I would say the size of the table saw, I get worse injuries though.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. Like he just bumped his hand the other day on the planer with a board behind it and he was like missing a chunk over his thumb.
Just gone.
Wow.
Terrible.
Nice. Well, be careful, guys. Yeah, right. Shop injuries, no joke. Yeah. Okay. All right, last one. Most likely to not put the tools away.
Tony.
Tony, you agree with that?
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah.
You want to fight it.
I want to fight it. That's the thing. But it's the fair.
First step
it's
is fair. Denial.
Yeah, it's fair.
It depends on which building we're in.
Yeah. You don't know, but Tyler asked me to have an intervention with you tonight. So.
Yeah, like I'm definitely the very like if either one of us could be more sporadic, it was definitely me. So
yeah,
I'll be doing something and I'll jump to another thing and jump to another thing. And oftentimes in that wake, I won't put my tools back. Right.
Yeah.
Because I'm coming back to it.
Right. Yeah, Tony's more, he's like multifaceted, right? He'll do like four jobs at a time, which require like some of the same tools and like different tools in different locations. Yeah. Where like, I'm like, all right, I got to do this job in this location with these tools, you know, like, and those tools will just lay everywhere, right? Yeah. But like, I'm not going anywhere else. Yeah. So it's localized. You
know? I see a bit of a correlation between the last two questions. Clumsy. Yeah, exactly. It might just be work hazards. No.
Right. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm the same way. Like, you know, I have my organizational days where everything is back in its place. And then the next day I walk out in the shop and I'm like, oh, this is amazing. I could work out here every day. And then there's times like right now where the shop is just, there's crap everywhere. And mm-hmm. every time I walk out there, I'm like, oh, I don't even know where to start.
Yeah.
Sometimes we get a solid wood pile and it's like,
I mean, but that's like weekly, you know, like weekly.
Yeah. If we don't do it weekly though, yeah. Like, we skip that week, dude. We have
like 3 days ago, our whole shop was a mess. Cause you know, we were ripping 2000 board feet of hickory in different ways.
Wow.
So there's strips laying everywhere, sawdust everywhere. And like in a full-time production shop, people actually criticize us and they say that we're definitely not professionals because we don't have like wood dust everywhere.
Oh, I get that. Yeah.
But we have to, but man, it's so much nicer to work in an environment where you don't have to walk over stuff all the time.
Right.
And so inevitably, if it's not once a week, it's at least every second week. As soon as we start like really tripping over stuff, we clean everything. Like,
all right.
Enough. You know? Yeah, this is cleanup day. Yeah, I got a comment the other day because I posted a video where it was, again, a sweeping shot of my tools. And that one's going crazy again. But, you know, I get the comments about, this guy obviously doesn't do any woodworking because there's no dust on his tools. And I'm like, at what point... do you require dust on your tools to say that you actually do work? You know, like it just, it's so bizarre.
Just like to be clean, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll get comments all sorts of ways like that. Like people on the internet, they just, man, some people just like to hate, you know? Yeah. So we'll get that comment that we're definitely not woodworkers because there's no sawdust on the ground.
Right.
And then we'll get the same comment was like, oh, there's so much wood dust on the ground, fire hazard. You know, it's like,
You can't please everybody. Well, what's funny is I pin those comments to the top because I just, you know, because I know it's going to generate, you know, the discussion, it's going to help the engagement and stuff. And so I'll usually just pin those ones up to the top. So people can see them because what they don't know is that I just gained 200 new followers because that one post, you know, or whatever. And you know, so I already know that their comment isn't valid. So going back to, you said like on lumber and how you're getting deliveries all the time, how much would you estimate in board feet? This can be probably a rough question or however you want to answer it, but how many board feet or how much lumber do you go through in this last year?
A year.
I would say somewhere between the range of 5,000 and 8,000 board feet. Wow. Something like that.
That's impressive.
Cause we do restaurant tables and we do like bar tops and like those are hundreds of board feet in one order, you know? Yeah. So
How are you getting those commercial jobs?
What'd you say?
How are you getting the commercial jobs? Are you, is it word of mouth?
So believe it or not, two of the biggest ones were because we made YouTube videos, and those YouTube videos only got like 300 views ever, but just so happens a contractor up in Pensacola saw it, you know, and he's like, oh, you do bar tops for walk-ons? And we said, yes, sir. And there we go. There's another bar top. And then the one, those table, like a week or two ago, we made 14 tables in a week. Mm-hmm. That same person saw a YouTube video of us making just some table. And he's like, oh, you make restaurant tables? And I said, yes, we do. And nice. So we got
that. Is that the one where you're talking about the cupping?
No. It depends on... You're saying when like, I fixed the cup table?
Yeah. You delivered a table into a restaurant, I think, and it had a bunch of different tables.
Oh, yeah. So that was a different order, but no. That one we got through Facebook Marketplace. I haven't posted the YouTube video yet for the 14 tables.
You're like, how did you know about that one? I didn't tell... We haven't posted it yet.
But we post short form content probably like 2 weeks before the long form content comes out.
Yeah.
Just because like we can do it quickly.
Right. Long form takes longer.
Yeah, long form takes longer. That's for sure.
Those are some deep words. Yeah, you guys are putting out content fairly regularly. And so I was looking, you guys have about 2,100 followers or subscribers?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And is it most of that been recently, like since you launched the clamp rack and or the bar top?
So first year we got 700 subscribers the first year. And then our buddy down the road made a video kind of like showcasing us. Mm-hmm. When he asked us to make him like that Purple Heart table we made, the world's biggest Purple Heart table.
Right.
Right. So he showcased that and then we jumped up 400 subscribers from that. And, while Trey right down the road, he's a pretty big YouTuber. He has like somewhere around like 500,000 subscribers. He makes a lot of good videos, right? He actually kind of like in a way mentored me on how to like make the content better with the tools that we had available, you know, and like gave me a little bit of a different viewpoint on how to approach videos. Mm-hmm. And so incorporating like some of what he told me and then I always want to keep our videos like as real, true to like how we actually do our stuff here.
Yeah.
But incorporating all that, like our past year videos have been like much higher quality. I think better message or like people have enjoyed them more, you know?
Right.
So in the past year, we've gained like another 1,000 subscribers.
Nice.
So it's been getting a little better. But that, I think that comes with, you know, time as videos, like as you learn how to make better content, you know, that people enjoy watching.
You know? Yeah. I got to say that the reason why I came across you guys when I was following Bidwell and, they had shared some of your stuff. And the reason I started following you guys initially was because of your video quality, because that's something that I'm always looking at. And, I like the way that you did your transitions, you know, and stuff like that in some of your Instagram content. And, in some of the earlier episodes of the podcast, I had a guy on that's really good with, you know, production type stuff, named Joseph with Jojax. And he always says, you know, you want to keep the camera where the eyes need to be drawn to, or like what you need to be kind of looking at. So you don't, and you guys do a lot of that. You bring the shots in real tight, you know, when you need the shots in real tight and stuff like that. So you guys are doing a great job with that. And I, you know,
appreciate that.
So I think Tyler does a lot of you do a lot of the video like taking, right?
Yeah. It's not my, yeah.
Tyler, if I'm in front of the camera, definitely. I would say we probably videotape equally as much though. It's like Tyler's actually really good at filming. He's innately just like all the cool action shots you see.
Yeah.
Those were Tyler filming them. More of the slower specific shots. I'll film those just because I have like certain ideas, but
yeah,
a lot of the good shots come from Tyler.
Yeah. So I know that people are dying to kind of hear about this clamp rack, and I know you guys are just itching to talk about it.
Oh, yeah. we're down to talk about whatever.
So are you getting ready to do like you've done some collaborations with some other makers? I think you had four initially five, but now four collaborators that you're working with to kind of get the stuff out and test it and all that kind of stuff. Are you going to be doing like a big like video launch, and like you've got a lot of like stuff prepared? We'll talk about the actual production of it here in a second, but
you want to know the marketing plan?
The marketing plan, yeah.
Okay, the marketing plan. Well, a little background on the marketing plan was happened to do with Bidwell too. Bidwell opened our eyes to that of how to do influencer marketing, right? Okay. Like they contacted us, which we're probably like the smallest influencer they contacted.
Yeah. That says a lot about their company. I mean, that says a lot about them as a company.
They've been super supportive of us. Mm-hmm. Actually, they've actually helped out the business side of things more than they've helped out any sort of like content side of things, you know. But they showed us how to do influencer marketing essentially, and they didn't have to say anything. They just, you know, they did it from the ground up, and I just watched what they did, and I'm like, oh, okay. And so when we had this pile of metal out there, we're like, okay, definitely it was going to be Trey, because Trey is our friend. And you know, he's also a big influencer. And then definitely we were going to send one to Annie's Woodwork, because she's always been like a big supporter. She's real cool
in the beginning.
Always doing woodwork.
She's like my little sister.
Stuff.
She's like my little woodworking sister. Yeah.
All right.
And actually, side note, Annie and her father and her brother actually are the ones that make the plates for the clamp racks. So these tabs, I don't know if you can see it in the video, but here on these tabs that you see that make it modular, they actually cut those out on their plasma table and they ship them to us.
Nice.
But basically the plan was is like however many we can make, we're going to give to like people that are influencers, but are also, I made sure that they glued up boards.
Yeah.
Like, and I also just picked the people that happened to, I don't know, talk the most. Like, so it was like, there was like, and we didn't have that many. Right. So I had like a short list that I could fill in. Like the first people
engagement's
who said,
great. And Annie's great for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She actually uses it a lot.
Yeah.
You know?
That's important.
And you don't know who's like going to have, who's actually going to be able to like make a lot of content with it. Right. Like, you know, Annie actually makes a lot of content. Trey is going to make a YouTube video. So that's going to help us out a lot.
Definitely.
But the marketing plan from here is essentially make most of our content ourselves.
Okay.
You know, aside from what Trey makes and then like Annie and then cold brew woodworking.
Yeah.
We're going to send more racks out as we can, but we're just like, right now we need to make some money on them.
Yeah. No, the product definitely needs to pay for itself, for sure. Okay. So now let's talk about the evolution of the clamp racks. How many iterations did you go through?
I think it was three.
Yeah. Three.
Okay. You know, so we had the first model, which was the first video that took off, right?
Yeah,
and three-holer.
Yeah, the three-holer. And
is that its like little name, little pet name?
Well, you see how the clamp holds four, or the rack holds four clamps per row. Okay. The first one we made was only three, but we were worried that like the clamps would bend under too much weight, and we wanted these things to be like functional.
Right.
Like Tyler and I use and abuse tools, so it had to be coming to someone like us and be a useful tool.
Yeah.
Right. So we were like, we'll add four, make sure it's strong enough. Mm-hmm. And then, but the problem was, is those clamps, like everyone says they can build this at their house.
Yeah.
But it's a lot harder than you think.
Right.
to get those clamps to line up, your drill press is not accurate enough. Even with the best bit, you could have like a really awesome drill press.
Yeah.
And you're just not going to be accurate enough. They're going to be all a little bit different. So your glue ups are going to come like warped. So the first one,
three holer didn't work.
Didn't work.
It wasn't enough. We did a fourth one with four hole or a second one, four holes with, no bars. And that was the one you just referenced.
Yeah.
Then we did the one with four little tabs to be able to like kind of give us like a reference point, you know, like,
yeah,
instead of where these holes were, where like it would wobble or whatever, we could balance it on these bars, right? The pipe.
And those were just so wonky.
They didn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just the idea didn't work. So then we're like, we got to mill them. And then we did three or four different slot redesigns, and then that was it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you were to count all the different iterations in all the different steps, there was probably like 10 different iterations, but there was only
four
physical prototypes that we tried.
So for the people who are not watching this, they're listening to it. Maybe they're driving in their car. Describe the clamp rack, because I realize we've been talking about it and people are probably sitting here going like, what are they talking about?
So the TNT clamp rack, right, is a rack to hold pipe clamps. If you glue up cutting boards or like cabinet doors or any type of board, essentially, or tables or whatever, small tables, you usually do it with clamps. And most woodworkers will have pipe clamps lying around, usually in pairs. A couple at 24 inches, a couple at 36.
Right. And always one less than they actually need.
Right.
Always.
Always less than you need. Yeah. But we made a rack that holds these pipe clamps in a tiered system. So you can glue up three glue ups in the space of one glue up. Mm-hmm. And it holds the clamps so that you can use any size clamp and just slide it into your desired glue up width. The rack's heavy duty, so the rack is never going to break because we make them strong.
Yeah.
But it holds these clamps and you can slide your clamps in and out really easily. But when you put it in place, it actually, the way we designed the hole, it locks your clamp. So you have a solid surface.
Right.
And it holds your clamps, assuming that they're reasonably straight. It holds them all in the same plane perfectly. So that way your glue up surface is flat.
And it's 3/4 inch pipe.
Yep. 3/4 inch pipe.
And so if you have a pony clamp, if you have a Bessie clamp, that you can use all of that.
Did you give them the footprint?
Yeah. The footprint of the pipe clamp rack is like, it's 15 inches deep and 30 inches wide. So you can do like 3-foot glue ups easy all day in them.
Yeah.
3-foot long and then up to like 24 inches wide. But you can take your pony clamps, your Bessie clamps, any 3/4 inch pipe clamp. It doesn't even have to be name brand. As long as the pipe's good, you just slide it in. And what's great, one of the reasons that we made it this way is because most woodworkers at home have pipe clamps.
Right.
And they have a variety of sizes. So like with this rack, you can put all the different sizes in.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter.
And it's modular too. So you can stack them up on top of each other and you can put them side by side and do longer clamps, glue ups.
Yeah, they're modular vertically and horizontally. So you could literally stack them as high as you want, or you can go as long as you want. You know, if you like, we have a 12-foot JLT system. You know, so if we didn't have a 12-foot JLT system, we would definitely have like 5 or 6 of these things bolted up together.
Yeah. And so for the people who don't know what a JLT system is, it's basically, if you've seen any kind of industrial glue up type of operation, it's essentially a large version of what you guys have, but you have to have all of their clamps, and their system is a closed system, right? And
JLT, their clamps are made for like real commercial style shops. Like if you're
you can abuse them.
We beat the crap out of the JLT. And just, you know, doing like 150 square feet of tables a week, like it's just a lot of weight you know, so it's a commercial size machine. The clamps are really expensive, but they're really heavy duty.
Right.
They're made for big shops.
Did you say how long your JLT system is?
It's 12 foot long, and then we have 52 inch clamps on them. So we can do 52 inch wide and up to like 16 feet long, pushing it over each edge.
And have you maxed it out?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that yeah. when you did that bar top, is that when you maxed it out?
No, we've maxed it out on some random stuff.
You just did it on a ton of hickory.
Oh, do you mean? Yeah, we totally max weighted out a lot.
Yeah.
I think he was talking about length though.
Oh, just length.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
because it's a common occurrence that someone's like, yeah, I just need it to be just 15 feet.
Right.
That's
right.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, so going back to your clamp racks, obviously if you're doing a glue up and you've got three stacked up, I mean, that's, I've seen it, you know, I haven't like seen it in person, but I've seen it in the videos and stuff like that. I mean, and you're making it with like two and a half inch, square tubing. Yep. There's no way. I mean, there's no way that you're ever going to exceed any kind of weight issues or anything.
No, yeah. For what it's built for.
You like, over-engineered basically.
So. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Perfect.
Right. We actually pushed a limit right before we did the last demo, trying to see if we could do a 48 inch wide thick oak butcher block, 48 inch wide by 8.5 feet long, by bolting them together. But the problem is that the actual pipe isn't strong enough to handle that.
Right.
And so when you have all that leverage on our rack, like it's, you're not going to get good results for it. So we recommend for our rack that like the max you go is 36 inch wide. And then the length doesn't matter. Yeah, you can, as many racks as you have bolted together, you can go. But on a single rack, the farthest out goes for like 4 feet. Because after that, like you can't ensure that your glue up surface is flat enough.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. It's a great design. I'd like to see a challenge where people see how many they can stack on it and, you know, get that efficiency going.
Yeah, we definitely have some cool content planned. Trey down the road, he has two of them. So when he makes a video, you'll be able to see whatever he does with them.
Yeah.
But as we make fulfill orders for customers, mm-hmm. while the racks are here, they might get used a little bit.
Right.
You know, we'll make sure they're clean. Freaking bug. We'll make sure they're clean and stuff. But we want to also make content because most of the marketing is going to come from us.
Yeah.
You know, we can't really afford, we've never been one to pay for like Google ads or anything right. like that.
Yeah.
But
I think the influencer economy is strong enough where I don't think you need that.
Right.
Now, unfortunately, I think that Instagram and Facebook, Meta specifically, they squash content that appears to be sponsored. And so that's the biggest challenge, I think, is that they want businesses. So if you're classified as a business and you're tagged, then you tend to, they want to squash that video because they want you to pay for advertising on the platform.
I wonder if that happens.
So are you,
us. Like, I are don't you know, set how, up do you, a, how do you find that out?
Are you set up on your account as creator? Or
I think so.
Okay.
I think we're creator.
Because like if you're doing stuff with Bidwell, for example, mm-hmm. and you tag them, do you notice that those videos get less engagement than the ones where you don't tag them?
So it kind of like sometimes yes, but like, and then all of a sudden like one of those videos will take off. Now, if I put their logo in the video, mm-hmm. yes.
Yeah.
It definitely gets like boosted right down.
Right, right.
But if I just tag them in it, or if I like put something in the description, it's hit or miss.
Yeah.
But if I put a logo in a video, anywhere I post it, it gets taken down. Except for our logo, for some reason. Like when mm-hmm. I put our own logo in the video, it doesn't seem to have an effect on it. But if I put Bidwell or JLT, Atomic Finishes, Clean Armor, whatever, boom, right down.
Yeah.
Which I don't understand how that works. Like, how do they know? And how don't they do anything with our logo.
Yeah, I mean, I think it goes back to how is your business registered with the entity. Now, I don't know this specifically, but just kind of my viewpoint on it is when you're just like when they see TikTok, for example, they see a TikTok logo, they have said that they will not push that content. They've come out and said that. So any video that has a third party stamp on it, they're not pushing that content. And so I think what is likely happening is that they are cross-referencing those types of things. And if you're as TNT listed as a creator, you're not listed as a competition.
Oh, I gotcha.
Now, when you take this full steam, right? And let's say you end up selling the idea and somebody buys it, let's talk about that in a second. But you know, somebody buys that design and they start marketing it. Now they're going to have to probably, as a business, start paying for that advertising to get that out there, which is why a lot of businesses are going to more of the content creator, influencer type marketing, because then that is their way of paying. And they're paying a lower, and they know that they're going to get the return. If a business puts out I used to do sponsored posts when I first started my business, and you pay and you don't know if you're going to get that return on investment. I used to do like Christmas posts and I wasn't guaranteed. I would get clicks maybe, but that wouldn't necessarily translate into transactions or business
right.
for my business. And as a business, they're still paying for those clicks, even though they don't translate into a transaction. Right. But if they give it to an influencer, they know, okay, as a contract, I'm going to give you this product and I expect 4 posts or whatever. Well, they already know that that's a guaranteed return on their investment. If you've got 50,000 followers, they're going to at least get 50,000 eyes or at least 1% of that. And those are probably going to translate into transactions. So I think it has a lot to do with that. It's just what I've seen and talking with others in our niche, that seems to be the case. But let's talk about the future of the Clamp Rack. Is that the official name? Did you guys come up with the official name?
I think we settled on TNT Clamp Rack because we couldn't find a cooler name.
Yeah.
You know, like we're not real good on the.
See that right there? TNT Clamp Rack.
Yeah.
Both of those have just ended up just, you know.
Yeah.
All right. That's it.
Yeah. I personally liked my suggestion, which was Rack and Stack, but you know.
I did like Rack and Stack. Yeah, see, I did like that's going to be on a shirt, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. I like that so much. I got put on the design into a shirt.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, Rack and Stack.
We have a few different meme shirts.
I expect a 50% discount on that t-shirt when I buy it.
No, for sure. We'll send you one, actually.
You get one.
We'll send you one for sure.
Nice.
Yeah, we're actually the t-shirts that are coming with the pre-order racks and shirts that we'll start selling after that.
Yeah.
They're going to be organic hemp and organic cotton. And then we went through the trouble. It took like 9 months to find someone who will do it. And then it took another 3 months for them to figure out how to do it right.
Wow.
But it uses a special discharge ink that's hard. It's easy to do on a small scale, hard to produce a lot. It's not like a big shop either. But anyways, it's an ink that you don't feel it. So you could actually work in this shirt and you're not going to have like a big puddle of sweat underneath whatever logo is on it.
Yeah, I do.
So they're really nice shirts.
I do. I use Printful for my stuff. Like this is the Maker Lounge podcast shirt. And
nice.
So it's print on demand. That's the way of the future. In my book is if I can make an order while I sleep and I don't have to worry about it, when I see the order come through in the morning, I could just go, all right, sweet. I made $3 or $5 or whatever. That's the way I want to go. But I have noticed a little bit of inconsistency. I test every single thing before I put it on the website just to make sure that the quality is good. Because the last thing I want is somebody to get a shirt and it's like what you talk about. There's the sweat marks, you know, or it's like it feels bunchy or something like that. I don't want that.
Yeah. We're kind of taking the we wanted to do something a little different with shirts and stuff. We wanted to do something like really high quality that's stuck out. So we went with hemp and organic cotton. Yeah. And it's actually a really good shirt. They're Ono shirts. Okay. And so they like fit really well. They breathe really nicely for work. And like, you don't actually have to, like most shirts you have to break in. Like they don't become favorites until like a year later, right, at least.
Yeah.
But these ones are like nice right off the bat.
Cool.
And yeah, so
it's like a week.
Yeah. You don't get the U-neck. Have you seen that commercial where that like shirts all like matter? Yeah, right. Like, you look comfortable. Yeah. Cool. So what's the future of the Clamp Rack? Are you guys looking to, I mean, so you've outsourced a lot of the, like, the design or the actual production of it now?
We've only outsourced the tabs in the actual CNC cutting. Uh-huh. All the rest of the fabrication's all in-house. So We get the metal, we cut the metal into the parts. The part that holds the clamp, so the tubes that hold the clamp across the rack, those go to fine line machining, and he uses his Haas CNC to cut out all the holes for us.
Yeah.
And then the actual plates that make it modular, those come from Annie's Woodwork in Louisiana. Mm-hmm. But then all the metal tubing gets fabricated right on our metal fab table over there. And we do all the grinding here, all the finish work here. That's the current plan.
Yeah.
But we're looking into either having a U.S. company fabricate them on a mass scale, mm-hmm, so we can either make it cheaper or even just be able to fulfill orders.
Yeah. Right. Have in stock stuff, you know.
Right. And are you going to keep in stock multiple colors, or is it?
We haven't decided yet because, yeah, like, we really, here's what we want to do. We want to have these five like really cool custom colors. Mm-hmm. And a really cool purple, a really cool green, red, black, and then
blue,
something like that, blue, something like that. But when it actually comes to production, like we're only two guys.
Right.
And so like we kind of like decided today, like, man, we're just going to do black and white because number one, it's the really good paint that we're using is only available in like black.
Okay.
Well, they got some basic colors, but they're just not anything special.
And then like the setup to like actually do a lot of these at once, like changing out colors isn't feasible.
Right.
And like spray paint in the can is $10 a can for the good stuff. So
yeah,
it's just not feasible.
Yeah.
I think we're going to do like black and white for now, but once we have like better infrastructure around it, we'll start doing like the really cool colors again.
Maybe like, so, like seasonally or something, like where you do a seasonal run of, a color or something.
Yeah, I want to do like special edition colors and stuff. We have a bunch of like mix in like pigments and stuff.
Yeah,
like more like limited runs. Like we'll always have black and white, but then like maybe 1 week Tyler and I feel like making the 20, like bluing the metal instead of painting it or something, or we want to do something with it. Maybe we want to do like a really cool like graffiti design over all of them.
Yeah. That's cool.
So we want to kind of make it limited. So there's kind of like this aspect of, and all of them are going to be serialed. So they'll each have their number.
Oh, cool.
You know?
Yeah. So they're going to have to register the product and that type of thing. Like,
oh, no, no, yeah. No, we offer a lifetime warranty because like, there's no way.
Right.
I mean, there's not no way, but there's, yeah, it's going
to
be
you
hard.
You really have to try.
You have to really try to break this thing.
Yeah.
And it's fully welded. Whereas like most companies, they'll like put like welds where you need them.
Yeah.
Right, this thing is fully welded.
Welds where you don't need them.
Welds where you don't need them. And
yeah.
So we offer a lifetime warranty, but the way we're going to do that is if you have a problem, you know, just send it in, and we'll send you a new one.
Right.
You know,
that's good.
Or if one thing we're going to offer in the future, like if someone buys a couple clamps now, and then they buy like a couple clamps in like 5 years or something. Right, like our jigs might not be the same exact perfectly lined up, so they can send them in and we'll like precision them all out, so that way like all of your clamp racks will line up,
right,
you know,
Cool.
So we're going to definitely like support this product for a while.
Yeah.
And do stuff, but we want to try to make it. We honestly didn't even want to make it as expensive as it is. We were trying to make it more of a mass thing, but like just being two guys and like how much time we have to dedicate to it on top of like our actual main job is woodworking.
Yeah.
We can't really do it any cheaper.
Yeah.
You know,
are you finding that a lot of your time is dedicated to this product right now and that it's pulling you off of
all of Tyler's time?
Yeah.
All of Tyler's time has been dedicated to it, which is a big hamper, right? Because again, Tyler and I working together, amazing. I can handle some work. Mm-hmm. I can get some stuff done. I've been keeping the woodworking running pretty decently. But, you know, whenever we need to catch up, Tyler takes a day off of the metal and bam, boom, caught up.
Yeah.
You know, so.
That's good.
It's definitely a decent amount of time.
Lots of time.
Are you tired of welding yet? Or is that something that you enjoy doing?
But not yet. We got 29 more to build.
Yeah, I've only done a small portion of them, so you know. No, I'm not tired of it. It's fun.
Yeah,
I enjoy it. I like developing the product and seeing it come out and get better and better. You know.
Yeah. How long does it take to produce? Or how many can you produce in a day? Like weld up and.
It's more of a metric, so. If we're completely efficient, we can produce 20 in 2 weeks.
Okay.
More or less, right?
Yeah.
We can't produce 40 in a month, though, but we can produce 20 in 2 weeks.
That's because you're doing the woodworking stuff?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we couldn't dedicate full time to this. We actually were talking to JLT, and they actually were considering starting to produce these and, like, working with us and – but it didn't make it. There wasn't enough profit in this glue up rack for them to justify.
Yeah.
You know, like.
I was going to ask how your relationship with JLT has been since you came up with the product. Do they see it as competition or they support it?
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, it's not competition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so.
We sent them the blueprints, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's two different classes of product. And when they saw it, like, I'm sure they had a ton of thoughts go through their head, but they also collaborated us on content. They, they actually like us a lot. We visited them at the International Woodworking Fair. Mm-hmm. And so we talked to all the guys there, the engineers, Gordon, the owner. We've been on like a talking basis for a while.
Cool.
And so I'm sure if they had any problems with it, they would have let us know right away.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, like hey, wait a minute. You guys don't take care of that stuff. Let us do that. We'll take care of that.
But here's the thing. Like there's some people that said like, "Oh, you knocked off JLT." Well, if you've ever actually used like a JLT system and then you used a pipe clamp, mm-hmm. there's no comparison.
Yeah.
No. You know, like I wouldn't try to build the world's biggest Purple Heart table with our glue up rack.
Right.
Not even
that's
close.
Not its, yeah. That's not its intended use. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And they went the other way. You know, they started with this and then just went way bigger and faster and like more industrial.
Right. You're like our JLT clamp is small. Their bottom of the line product.
Right.
That's their bottom of the line. They go from there, they have rotisseries and then they have these crazy pneumatic thing rotisseries.
Wow, laser adjusting.
They have milling machines that like you just literally just chuck boards in, right? And they have these lasers that just like measure it as it's rolling through something.
Wow.
And cut it for what your parts cut are.
Yeah. No waste on, somehow they have virtually no waste and they like all is. They're at a different level.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So they don't care about this thing.
They don't care about this thing.
Until the product is huge, then they will care.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, wait a minute. We helped you out with that or whatever.
Like, hey, man, we sent you the prints.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, cool. So I know that there's a lot of other stuff I want to talk about, but also we're kind of nearing the end of the time frame for an average podcast or my average podcast anyway. I think I do double the length of an average podcast, but we'll take it over to the after show. I want to talk to you guys about, you know, some of the other stuff like how you flatten slabs and you know, the different types of wood and all that kind of stuff. So we'll head over to the after show. But before we do that, anything else on the clamp rack you want for the main audience?
Well, if I can plug it,
yeah, do it.
Then what I'll say is that we are making, we are hopefully making a tool that in time to come, like, is looked at as like a really useful tool. We're hoping that it helps other woodworkers make a lot of money with glue ups, just like glue ups have made us money.
Yeah.
You know? And so we're producing, we're in a production of 20 right now. 11 of them are already going out for pre-orders, but we have 9 left over. So if you want to get one of these racks for this production, then you can head over to our website, madeatthefarm.com, and you can pick up a rack there. But otherwise, we'll be producing another 20 sometime in the next month or two. And then,
cool.
You know, that, yeah, awesome. That's it.
So, and where can people find you guys?
So you can find us, the main place to find us would either be on YouTube, and you just look up TNT Industries LLC. TikTok is the same thing. Instagram's the same thing. It's all under the same name.
Cool.
We like to make really good, we like to make quality long form content, but we also really enjoy making cool short videos.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys do a great job. I'm Matt with Volton Woodworking, and you can find me on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, all that. So I tell people don't follow me on TikTok because it's just reposts of my Instagram. So yeah. Anyway, but you can find that, and then also you can find the Maker Lounge podcast on Instagram and YouTube if you want to watch this video, and you can kind of see what's behind the guys. You can watch us on Maker Lounge podcast on YouTube as well. And also, if you want to catch the episodes early and listen to the after show that we're getting ready to head over to, become a Patreon supporter. So we have 2 new Patreon members this week. We've got Victor with Wind Design, who signed up to be a top tier patron. And by the way, there's only a limited amount of slots for the top tier patrons. And then we added also a guest from a couple episodes ago, signed up to be a patron, Tyler with Temecula Yard Games. Signed up. So thank you to all of our Patreon members. We've got Jimmy McAnally, Matthew with Archiono Sirio, Victor with Wim Design, Making It at Home, J&E Designs, Temecula Yard Games, and 513 Woodworks. So thanks again. We'll head over to the after show. Guys, thanks for being on the podcast. It's been a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, appreciate you guys kind of sharing us a little bit about your story, and we're going to talk a little bit more here in a minute. We are heading into the after show. If you're not a patron, we'll see you next week for another great episode. But if you are, you will receive a link to listen to the after show. Thanks so much for listening and sharing the podcast with your friends.